This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Maryland's two current senators want a National Guard air squadron sent from D.C. to Maryland for a yes vote on the RFK site bill. What? Sam Fortier is one of several Washington Post reporters who broke this story yesterday. He will jump on with us at 11 a.m. We'll talk some football with Sam as well. But kind of a crazy story and a lot of, I think, complexity to it because you have to understand, and I think I understand a little bit better, the lack of National Guard air support in the state of Maryland. Apparently, they don't have any of it, and it was recently taken away from them. They want it back, and for getting it back, they apparently will vote yes on the RFK site plan. Go figure. Much more on that coming up. Sam Fortier at 11 a.m. SiriusXM's college football analyst Bobby Carpenter. He does some work with our own Denton Day. He'll join us at 12. Denton, what did you think of the rankings last night?
I'm glad that Miami was not in it. I don't think that Alabama should have been in it. But other than that, I thought they were fine. I think they're going to screw the ACC, by the way.
Yeah, what I would, so for those that didn't follow the, you know, college football playoff rankings that came out last night, the big story was that Alabama jumped Miami into a spot in which if things go normally over the weekend, meaning the favorites win the conference championship games, they would be in the playoff and Miami would be out. I'll start with this. I have no problem with Alabama as a 9-3 team jumping a 10-2 Miami team who cannot stop anybody and has lost two of its last three games to Georgia Tech and to Syracuse. Alabama's loss to Oklahoma, Denton, was a bad, ugly-looking loss. There is no doubt about that. Their other loss, or their other losses, you know, they have that Vanderbilt loss, as we know, and that didn't really prove to be the worst loss of all time. Vanderbilt was a pretty good football team for much of the year. They lost to Tennessee, ranked higher than Alabama in the rankings. And I just think that right now, Alabama is a better team than Miami, and even resume-wise deserves to be above Miami. I think you agree with that, right?
Yeah, Miami should not have been in. It should have been Ole Miss.
Ole Miss instead of Alabama?
Instead of Alabama, yeah.
Okay, so that's a different argument altogether. The big story last night, though, was Alabama jumping Miami. Now, explain to me how Alabama gets bumped by results this weekend in the college football and the championship games, in the conference championship games.
Alabama would not. They're in. What I think would happen.
Hold on for a second. What if Clemson beats SMU?
Then SMU falls out. That's why I'm upset. Because the
I don't think they do.
The placement of Alabama shows me, because every time that we've seen a team, Kevin, that's in the top 12 lose a football game, how many spots do they drop? They drop four spots. Right now, four spots for SMU In the bracket, they're a 3 seed because they're the best team out of the ACC. But in the actual rankings, they're an 8 seed. If they drop 4 spots, they would then fall behind Alabama. I think traditionally, it should not cause SMU to fall out of the
playoff.
That's
random, though.
That is random.
You don't know that they'll drop 4 spots. I think SMU being ranked where they were was an indication that Clemson becomes a bid stealer from Alabama if they beat SMU. Now, context matters here. If Clemson were to absolutely destroy SMU, 44-3, then the eye test may become a different one for SMU than it was heading into these rankings. But I believe that there is certainly a lot of conversation about Clemson beating SMU, knocking the last team to get into the field based on last night, which was Bama as a 12 seed. They were the last team to get in terms of an at-large. The Big 12 champion, Arizona State, or Iowa State, is going to snag a bid with their conference championship result, and they'll likely be a 12 seed. It's still possible that they could move into the bye situation if Boise loses to UNLV. Boise, I don't think, becomes a bid stealer. I think SMU becomes a bid stealer if Clemson wins a close game over the Mustangs.
If it's a close game,
and I think
game,
that could
yes.
knock Bama out.
But if it's a double-digit game, I think SMU falls.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think even if it's 10. You said if SMU loses, they're out. I don't think they are out if they lose. I think if they get blown out, they're out perhaps and Bama's in.
Well, so what do you
But I think if it's a competitive loss, they're in and Bama's out.
What's a blowout?
A blowout in that situation is 17 or more.
See, I think if it's double digits.
In college football.
I think
in the NFL, it's 2 touchdowns. In college football, it's more than 2 touchdowns.
And that's where we're on different sides. I think if it's double digits, SMU falls. They want Bama in.
If they lost a 38-28 game to Clemson that was competitive, I think this is where you get into a bit of the flaw with the system, right? Because SMU is in today. And they earned their way into the ACC championship game, by the way, as the number one seed in that ACC title game right. on Saturday night. And this is where the system's a bit flawed, because if they didn't have to play an extra game, they'd be in. But Correct. They do have to play an extra game, a championship game. And by the way, I think there's some benefit in playing this extra game. The benefit is for a bye, for a first-round bye. But what you're suggesting is they're playing this extra game that as an example, Georgia and Indiana, and by the way, Notre Dame and Alabama and Ohio State and Tennessee don't have to play, and they'll be penalized for it if they lose.
I believe the committee would. I don't believe they should. I believe the committee would. Ward Manuel was—he did like a teleconference, and he's on ESPN, and
he's confusing, by the way. I'm done listening to this guy. This every time he speaks, I'm like, even Reese Davis last night in interviewing him got confused and had to clarify for everybody what he thought he heard from this guy. Terrible communicator.
To be fair, everyone that's been in that spot is, because they're tasked with doing too much. There's so much that goes on there. I wish we had legitimate clarity. I know we can't put a microphone in the room. People would get uncomfortable with that. But I need more clarity than what he provides. Because the reason I feel this way is because he alluded to the idea that if Clemson beats SMU, they would then have to look more closely at SMU and Alabama, meaning that SMU would not be guaranteed a spot in. Because if you're going to put Alabama up against anybody, in the eyes of the committee, Alabama's going to get in, whether they deserve to or not. I think if you look at the teams that could have that got that final spot with Miami, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Bama was the least deserving, right? They scored 3 points 2 weeks ago. 3 points.
I know.
They're an offensive team.
Oklahoma was one of the better defensive teams in the country, but what they gave up to Oklahoma's quarterback in that game was a first for Oklahoma offensively. I guess, like, I don't know. I think SMU has earned their way in, and I think the only thing that changes the committee's mind is an absolute destruction of them by Clemson, which, by the way, I don't think it'll happen. I think SMU can win that game. The line is kind of short, so I think it'll be a very competitive game, but I don't think they get blown out by Clemson. But if they do get blown out, and I would say, I'd say more than 14, but I'd actually say 17 or more, you know, something like, you know, 45 to 28 might be, or 27, something like that. A game that's not competitive, where SMU doesn't have a chance, and it is clear that the toughest opponent, other than BYU, that they have faced all season long, is out of their class. That's what has to be obvious to the committee. They have to look at SMU in their game against Clemson, if they lose, and say, they played a really good team for the first time this year, and they were completely outclassed. And that, because SMU does not have, you know, they have the win over Pitt when Pitt may have been undefeated.
They were good at the time.
Yeah, they were good at the time. Actually, their win, you know, they scored like 65 or something like that against TCU earlier in the year. TCU was one of the hottest teams at the end of the year. But who else did they beat? Louisville?
They beat Louisville when Louisville was ranked. It's, you know, when you're looking at an ACC school, it's tough to find a good win. It's tough. Because they didn't play each other. Like, Clemson didn't play Miami.
Clemson would have had to beat Georgia or South Carolina to have a high-quality win.
Right. And they
lost to both of those teams.
Yeah. I would be stunned, now that we're on the subject, the most stunning result this weekend would be Clemson blowing out SMU. Because I don't think that Clemson is a blow-a-good-team-out kind of team.
I agree with you. That's why I think SMU is going to be in, and Alabama has to root for SMU to win that ACC title game.
Yeah.
Because they still, everybody was kind of, you know, that was talking Bama over Miami, kind of behaved as if that meant they were in. And I think Heather Dinich did a really good job, she always does, of saying it's not over yet for Bama, because there are still bid stealers out there. You know, it's kind of like the college basketball. When you get upsets in college tournament finals, and right now Clemson over SMU would be an upset, and they would, because Clemson's nowhere near a bid. They're fifth. What are they, 15th or 16th in the rankings?
17.
So they're nowhere near a bid. So they would be one of those, you know, small conference. I mean, I'm not putting ACC into small conference, but basketball, March time of year, where somebody wins a conference tournament that was nowhere near going to the tournament from the regular season champion, and now a conference has two bids when they should have only had one, and that steals one. That's what Clemson is potentially this weekend. I would ask you if you think that Boise's in with a loss, because I don't.
No.
Okay, just want to make sure we're clear on that one.
No.
Do you think that Georgia is in regardless of what happens against Texas?
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, them being ranked 5, they're in the SEC, they're going to get in regardless.
So if UNLV beats Boise on Friday night, which, by the way, I like UNLV's chances in that game, if they were to win that game, that knocks Boise out. That's not a bid-stealing conference championship win. Iowa State and Arizona State are just playing for the Big 12 title. And by the way, probably a 12 seed. Although if Arizona State wins, I still think there's a decent chance they could jump Boise for the 4 seed. And then Georgia and Texas, both of those teams are in. This is about seeding and a bye. Penn State and Oregon, same thing. The key game is Clemson and SMU. Clemson is a 2.5-point dog in the ACC title game in Charlotte. If they win, either SMU's out or Alabama's out. I think it would be Alabama, personally.
If Penn State gets destroyed, like I'm talking destroyed, do you think they fall out?
Say again?
If Penn State gets mutilated, like 50-12.
No.
You think they're still in?
I do. They're number 3 in these rankings. How far can you possibly drop them if they lose to Oregon? right?
I think they would stay. I mean, if you lose 50-12 and everyone's healthy, that would be a tough look. They are really, I mean, they have kind of skated by in a lot of these conversations while everyone's been paying attention to Indiana and now looking at three-loss SEC teams. I mean, that Illinois win that they had in the middle of October, early October maybe, that is doing some heavy lifting for them to be the number three team in the country.
Look, I'm kind of with you. I mean, and I'd be thrilled if Franklin got somehow bumped, but I think they're in. I think the other interesting story is Ohio State loses at home as a 23.5-point dog. It is a rivalry game. We all understand that. But they drop four spots. That's it, to six. I mean, they are comfortably in the field. The only issue will they host a game? And right now it looks like they would. Host a game in the first round at the Shoe. In fact, in looking at the the bracket that, you know, based on the rankings last night, you would have, you know, potentially in that first round a game in State College, a game in Columbus, a game in South Bend. Weather would be a factor on December 20th and 21st in those three very cold weather sites. The other one would be Georgia. They would host Indiana and Athens. So exactly what we've always wanted, home field in an expanded playoff so that things like weather would be a factor. I've got a question for you, and I was thinking about this the other day. My son and I were talking about it. And we both gave the same answer, but I'm curious if you have the same answer. You know, these games in, let's just say that Happy Valley, the Shoe, South Bend, you know, Athens, all host games, all right, in the first round on December 20th and 21st. The students are gone. It's winter break. Mm-hmm. Do you think that those stadiums will be packed?
Yeah. Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah, I mean, because you're still like, Ohio State is,
yes,
a religion. Like, a lot of the places that are going to have home games that weekend, football is a massive deal. And if I was a student, honestly, I mean, obviously not everyone has this ability. If you live, for example, like if you go to Tennessee or whatever, and you live in California, if you live across the country, it'd be difficult. But if you don't live across the country, I would drive to a home playoff game. Get a couple of your boys in the vehicle, whip over there. I'd definitely get over there.
So I'm totally with you based on the venues we just talked about. Ohio State and Penn State are the state teams. The students are a big part of the game day, but a lot of the students live in the state. They're coming back for the game. You know, you won't have an empty seat in Happy Valley for a playoff game. You won't have an empty seat in the Horseshoe in Columbus for a playoff game. Same thing with Notre Dame, obviously. They're a national team, for crying out loud. But if you had, let's just say, like, there are some places where football isn't as important and it's not as much of a religion, where they, you know, they're not more likely than not going to host. Well, what if Indiana ended up hosting a game in Bloomington? You know, that is a big student contingent that's at those games. I'm just throwing it out there. It's one of those things that when you talk about, you know, playing, I've always thought you play the first round and you play the quarterfinals on home sites. Because it's tough to ask a fan base to travel to a quarterfinal site, then a semifinal site, and then potentially to a championship venue. You know, like, if the two teams that make it to the championship venue, their fans are going to have to travel three times in total, right?
Yeah.
And what we've had recently, two times, a semifinal and a championship venue. Now it's three to get there. And by the way, if that championship team comes from the first round, you know, you're talking about a home game, you know, that tends to be a weekend for people. That's a big investment. I'm not saying that these fan bases won't make it, but those are some of the things that come into consideration. Why, and it's why I always kind of felt like the quarterfinal round should be played at home venues as well. Not to mention that the four first round bye teams, Denton, actually, it's great that they advance without having to play a first-round game, but they miss a huge payday by playing a home game.
Yeah, these gates are massive. And, like, I don't know, this is going to sound rude. I don't know if you've been to a New Year's Six game as a fan before.
I haven't.
But Liberty was obviously in one last year. I went because I was media, but I was trying to get some of my boys to go. I was like, you guys should come out here. Like, I know it's Arizona. It's far. And they were looking at, and when you combine flights, tickets, accommodations, you're looking at upwards of $1,000 for one person. So yeah. If you're a family, if you're like a group of fellas, like if I had seven of my friends out there, that'd be $7,000 collectively that they paid to get out there. Like, that's a lot to ask for people who are in college. You know, you could work a couple extra shifts at Panera on the weekend, but that's not going to pay for you to get to Phoenix or to the Rose Bowl or something like that.
Well, it's just a good thing that your boys that decided not to go didn't go.
That too. Yeah.
Because that was a dose of reality game.
It was a great first quarter.
Was it a great first quarter?
They were leading.
It was Oregon, right?
Yeah, it was 7-6 after the first quarter. I don't know what happened after that.
What was the final? It was a whole lot to a little bit. I know that.
It was a lot to seven.
Yeah. So, interesting stuff. I mean, I do think what has become very clear is that the games here at the end of the year and now these conference championship games, so many more of them have real meaning than ever before. I mean, that's an obvious result of expanding the playoff field from 4 to 12. But I think it makes for even more drama and better conversations. I do think the one flaw that they're going to have to figure out is, well, I think there's two of them. I think number one is you cannot, you know, make, you know, an SMU as an example, you can't put them at risk because they earn their way into a conference championship game and they're sitting there as the eighth ranked team in the country. They'd be better off not playing that game. And that, you know, playing that game gives them a chance for a bye, okay? And so they don't have to win a first-round game. But that is a bit problematic in sort of the whole feeling of, oh my God, we are in now, but we have to play another game here, and that could knock us out. And number two is this, Denton. They have to just seed the field 1-12 and not do this conference champion gets a first round bye, because the idea that, you know, as an example, in Oregon, based on the latest, you know, projections as a one seed, would have to play the winner of Ohio State, Tennessee in the quarterfinal, that doesn't make any sense. You know, the Ohio State and Tennessee would be seeded a bit higher. I think you seed them 1 through 12, period. And you know, your conference championship games are going to be helpful to seeding, and sometimes just to get you in, but I think you got to seed them 1 through 12. I mean, right now, Boise State is a 4 seed, would be almost better off being a 5 seed and playing in a first-round game rather than having to play Penn State in the quarterfinal game at home. Like, I don't see that as fair. I'd just seed them 1 through 12.
Also, how great would it be if, like, Alabama had to go play on the blue Boise field in round one? Yeah. Like, that is what this sport should be about.
Right now, though, for those that aren't paying attention, just understand this. We've been talking about it since, I don't know, summer. The weekend of December 20th, which is a Friday, December 21st, a Saturday, December 22nd, a Sunday, is going to be one of the all-time great football weekends in history. You're going to have a college football playoff game on Friday night. And based on the four projected games in the rankings last night, I can almost guarantee you that Alabama at Notre Dame is that Friday night primetime game. Bama at Notre Dame, Friday night, December 20th. On Saturday, it's a triple header. It starts with Tennessee at Ohio State at high noon. Then at 4 o'clock, it's Arizona State at Penn State. And then at night, it's Indiana at Georgia. All the while, you've got two NFL games going on that day. All right. That day includes Houston at Kansas City at 1 o'clock and Pittsburgh at Baltimore at 4:30. And then you get the Sunday slate, which is the Philly-Washington game here, for starters. That is going to be one of the all-time great football weekends because it's not bowl games. Although, you know what, Denton? There will probably be bowl games going on simultaneously. If you're into betting on bowl games, who isn't? God, you agree Alabama at Notre Dame if that's the way it shakes out Friday night?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, you're going to put one of those two schools on a Friday night.
Yeah, be pretty wild. All right, want to get to something when we come back. It deals with something we haven't talked about in a while, the name. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.